Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty, hosted by Jodi Katz, founder and creative director of Base Beauty Creative Agency.
Hi, Jodi. How's your week going?
I am leaving soon to go to Miami for the Dermatological Beauty Connect. So I am a little bit busy, but very excited.
Very in that hustle and bustle mode, which is nice because then I think when you get on the plane, I always feel like when you're on the plane, the rest is behind you and you just like have what's in front of you to focus on, which feels good.
For any listener of this podcast, you know that I'm devoted to Rent the Runway. So literally packing for trips is so easy because I just order a bunch of dresses, try them on, make sure they fit, the buttons close. But other than that, stick them in the suitcase and get going. So I have a whole bunch of really pretty Miami-ish dresses, like lots of floral patterns, definitely summery, long cascading ruffle layers. So like, you know, pretty different, unusual, but definitely not winter wear.
I'm so excited. That sounds so nice as it's like a little bit chillier in New York, but I can't wait to see the final choices. I love how adventurous you are with your Rent the Runway picks. It's always something fun and new and different. And I think it's really fun to be at an event and see those people in the room. You can always spot you and it's fun. So I'm sure you prepped with the folks on your panel. How did that go?
Oh, it was so great. We had such an incredible conversation. So I'm on the panel with one brand CEO of a med spa chain and two major retailers, CVS and Ulta. And we're going to have a conversation about trends and what's connecting that medical grade, physician dispense skincare world with the mass skincare world. What's similar, what's different, and what brands and businesses can do better to educate the consumer. Because, you know, we are all working against TikTok.
Looks like it's going to be an awesome group to talk about the future of education and the evolving retail landscape. And I'm sure you'll see many past and future guests from the podcast in Miami as well, which is always fun.
Yeah, I've already communicated with many of the people who've been on the show. Lots of friendly faces will be in the room, which makes attending these events so special and so lovely. But let's get on to today's episode. This is actually with a woman that I met at an event, not Beauty Connect, but at one of the Women's Wear Daily wellness events a couple years ago. Her name is Michelle Larrabee, and she's a fascinating career journey. And now she's leading the way of bringing Eastern medicine within reach to our modern, confusing, upside-down world with her business called Within.
This wellness space is rooted in so much history, and I always find it really interesting to get a look inside these stories and to hear more about her company Within that's trying to bring acupuncture and other ancient medical techniques to more people.
We've been really interacting with a lot of guests that have medical journeys that open them up to starting businesses because they found something that worked for them that was not on their radar. So I love this focus on creating accessibility. I mean, from my own personal experience, I would love to try acupuncture. I just never knew where to go. Though I love that Michelle's really digging into this obstacle and really clearing the path for people to reap the benefits.
I can't wait to learn more about it. Here is episode 252 with Michelle Larrabee.
Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty. We are Career Journey Podcast, talking about what it's like to define success and reach for it in the beauty and wellness industries. Today, we continue our C-Suite Wisdom Quarter with Michelle Larrabee, co-founder and CEO of Within. Previous experience in international finance and consulting with the World Economic Forum to her journey into the world of ancient healing, modern wellness, acupuncture, and herbal medicine. That's quite a journey, Michelle. I'm excited to dive into the conversation about her career journey from finance to founder on episode 252. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty.
Howdy. Happy to be here.
So on this episode, we're going to go way back in time, Michelle, because this is a career journey show. And I always think about like when I was a little kid, these ideas in my head of what did I want to be when I grow up. So if we can go back to the 11-year-old self, what was on your mind? What were your dreams and aspirations?
Yeah. Well, I'd say pretty much throughout childhood, like all the way up through high school and even into like first semester of college, I was like pretty convinced that I wanted to be a doctor because I always wanted to have the ability to help others and, you know, just had some really amazing people around that I'd seen, you know, the incredible work that they could do.
And did you have a lot of exposure to people in medicine all these years? Like, did you have family members, friends? Was this like sort of just kind of part of your world?
A little bit. I would say it wasn't necessarily like immediate family members, but, you know, some aunts and cousins and other relatives that worked in the field.
So did you go to college to become a doctor?
I started pre-med for a semester. I don't even know that I made it a full semester, but once I loved like all the science classes and things like that in high school too. So I kind of always thought that was going to be a fit. But then once we got into the lab work, realized I didn't necessarily think that it was for me, which was interesting. So pivoted pretty quickly after that.
Okay. So after all those years of thinking and saying probably out loud to your friends, I'm going to be a doctor, and then getting to college and realizing I'm not going to be a doctor, was that a big shift for you? Was it a big moment of like, oh my God, a lot of worry? Or were you really at ease and just saying goodbye to that dream?
Well, I actually kind of had two paths of kind of career aspirations, and the doctor path had kind of always been something from like a little kid age that I'd followed. But in high school, I started actually studying abroad and doing some different types of work abroad and things like that. And so I also had become really excited and passionate about international relations as well. And I actually was at Georgetown School of Foreign Service. And then there was kind of like a pre-med track within that. And then, so I was able to like back on that other parallel path that I'd been pursuing. And actually it worked out really nicely that there happened to be a major called Science, Technology, and International Affairs that, you know, I was able to continue some of the passion around just healthcare in general, the sciences, and look at that through the lens of international relations.
When you were studying abroad in high school, where did you go?
So I did a summer exchange program after, I think, my sophomore year, and then was able to go back and stay with the same family a couple of summers after that as well.
That's such an amazing exposure for a kid so young. What's like the one thing you remember from that time that you still take with you?
That was kind of the start of my time spent living abroad. Since then, I've, you know, continued in college as well as did a master's in international relations and worked abroad. And I think it's kind of the same theme, but I just always think that it's valuable for anybody to spend time living abroad because it really puts things in the U.S. less into perspective when you understand kind of how we're viewed globally. And I think it's just, you know, we do live in such a global world that, you know, if you're really living in another country and it just forces you to think differently and to be open to other cultures and other customs, new perspectives. I also think that, you know, I get a lot of my inspiration too when I'm traveling, I've found. So I just think there's so many benefits to being outside of the U.S. and being exposed to new ways of doing things. And I do think that, you know, it's great to like go on vacation and, you know, a work trip here and there, but it really makes a difference when you actually live somewhere for a consistent period of time.
So in the opening, I mentioned that you worked for the World Economic Forum. What does that even mean? What is that job?
So it's funny. I've worked for the World Bank. I've worked for the World Economic Forum. But you know, the World Economic Forum specifically is an international organization, nonprofit. It's really kind of a think tank that is intended to bring together specifically business and political leaders to tackle some of the world's biggest, headiest problems. You know, spanning from climate change to poverty to education and things like that. And it really is like an actual forum. So every year, you may have heard of Davos is the name of like their kind of penultimate summit every year that brings together like truly like the world leaders of the biggest countries as well as, you know, top business leaders. So it's a pretty incredible place with really lofty missions. And I was there on a secondment from my consulting job, was actually there for kind of a long period of time and was focusing on a new initiative that we created around how do we bring together investment capital that has a mandate to return positive ROI to their shareholders and stakeholders, but also to put that money to work in some of the most challenging environments in the world to have an impact, a social impact. So that was what I was focusing on there. And that built off my prior career in finance, as well as working for the World Bank and on their private equity arm.
So not to go like too deep in this path, but as someone who watched this process unfold, knowing the world has so many complicated problems, they're multidimensional problems. Can people sit in a room and solve these?
I mean, I'm like forever an optimist. So, you know, I would say yes. But I think if you're not sitting in a room together, nothing is going to get done. So I think that's like absolutely the first step is getting real people with opposing views together in a room where they can have real conversations and try to really find common ground. I just think that's pretty hard to do if you're not actually in the same place.
I am an optimist too. Sometimes it's hard to be one, but I am. And change takes time. I guess I'm a realist also.
Absolutely.
So this sounds like a big jump from World Bank to traditional Chinese medicine. So tell me what that leap looked like.
Sure. So I would say yes and no, like on the actual catalyst for starting within, that was, you know, truly inspired by my own personal health experience. I had a ski accident. I was actually in Switzerland for the World Economic Forum, had a ski accident, ended up with dislocated vertebrae in my neck and a fracture in my back, and essentially, you know, in chronic pain, tried everything from shots and injections, painkillers and muscle relaxers, physical therapy, and really nothing was solving the root cause. So eventually my doctor suggested acupuncture. And at the time, this was, you know, 6 or 7 years ago now, I really didn't know too much about it, but was willing to try literally anything, and found that just the pain relief was incredible and immediate. I was able to stop taking painkillers and muscle relaxers, which, you know, is super important from a long-term health perspective. And then kind of as I was going regularly and, you know, getting weekly acupuncture, taking Chinese herbs, you know, following some of the nutritional guidelines and things like that, I realized that I was sleeping better. I was less stressed. I was, you know, this time of year where it seems like everybody's getting sick all the time, I just realized I had a stronger immune system and was generally healthier, fewer sick days. So it felt really empowering because it actually, you know, through the ski accident and chronic pain, I was actually introduced to a whole new lifestyle and even could call it a toolkit that I had no idea really existed. And it, you know, I'd always been into fitness and, you know, working out and trying to eat healthy, started doing, you know, more yoga and meditation. But this really felt like the next level. Because Chinese medicine is really about connecting the mind to the physical body, as well as preventative care, you know, thinking more about longevity. So, you know, again, like felt very empowering, and it felt like I was really in control of my health for the first time ever, which was exciting. And then kind of fast forward a year or so later, and I had fertility challenges and was struggling to get pregnant. But through acupuncture, through Chinese herbal medicine, was able to successfully get pregnant. And so truly life-changing. And, you know, I would say kind of from there, a few things happened, but the results were incredible. But I had found that it was hard to stay consistent. It was expensive. You know, there was just, you know, some other barriers to being able to continue to get acupuncture regularly. And also, I realized because I had learned about so many different benefits that I'd say a lot of people don't even know that acupuncture is, you know, relevant for, that some of the herbs can help with, I became a big advocate and tell people, you know, migraines, painful periods, allergies, a cold coming on, digestive issues, you know, try acupuncture, take these herbs, you know, do ear seeds, cupping. And I found that there was actually a ton of interest. It just was hard for people to know where to go from there. How do I get started? It's going to take, you know, several months to get an appointment. It's going to cost me $200. So just lots of the same challenges that I had faced personally. And so that was really the inspirational moment for me, I think, was when I did see that there was all this interest from friends and colleagues and family members, was how do I find a way to make this powerful, effective, time-tested, you know, been around for thousands of years, medicine more accessible to more people in order to really help them in the same way that I had been helped through the medicine itself.
So let's go take a step back a second. You're in a foreign country and experienced like what sounds like a horrific injury. That must have been really scary.
Yes. Yes, definitely. You know, particularly like my French was, and I guess is, you know, pretty advanced, but definitely not specialized medical vocabulary. So I think that was one of the bigger challenges, was just figuring out like how to kind of describe what I was going through and like what I needed to do from there. But I mean, amazing amazing medical system and was able to figure it out pretty quickly.
I wonder if there's some sort of like empathetic response to like your experience that you've kind of infused into within, right? It's like being kind of like alone and on your own in a medical system that's unfamiliar with you. My guess is you didn't have family with you on this trip, right? So maybe you were actually alone. Because you're trying, you know, you said in the beginning you wanted to take care of people, right? You wanted to be a doctor, and here you are on the receiving end of care. How do you think that experience with these scary injuries impacts the way you run this business today?
I love that you drew that parallel. But I think that really kind of what you're getting at is kind of true of what's specific to Within, which is we're introducing people every single day to a brand new type of medicine, way of thinking, tools, solutions, and things like that. And so people are also coming to us when they're at their most vulnerable, mm-hmm. trying to get pregnant, stress, anxiety, and depression, digestive issues that they've been trying for years and, you know, tried countless different therapies and nothing has worked for them. And so we actually practice something at Within that's really a core part of our DNA, which we call the healing hospitality. And that is to create a space that feels safe, where people can be vulnerable, where they trust in the brand. And by the way, the fact that, you know, we obviously are introducing a needle-based therapy, you know, it's even more important that we really create that safe space. And so, you know, whether or not that was directly linked to my particular ski accident or not, what you're describing is absolutely the core of what we're trying to do Within.
So when you discovered the benefits of acupuncture for dealing with your pain and other concerns that you wanted to resolve, that's a really far leap from saying like, I'm going to shift my career and build a business around this. So what transpired to actually take this from like, well, I mean, you could have also just been an influencer, right? You could just like talk to an audience and said, this worked for me, you should try it, right? You don't have to start a business to do that. So why? Like, and what was that like true inspiration that you said, like, this needs to be my career now?
Yeah. Well, actually, I think this is interesting based on what we talked about before, but I was actually in Thailand on my honeymoon with my husband and kind of like, you know, once like wedding planning was over, I'd had the idea, call it like 6 to 9 months before that, and had like that space and was in like more of a creative mindset and was just kind of talking through longer term different options and things I want to pursue. I knew I didn't want to stay in consulting forever. That was just something that I'd always known. But essentially, as I was kind of on the beach to what this idea that ultimately became Within could look like in terms of making acupuncture and Chinese medicine more accessible, you know, one, I just like realized how personally passionate and excited I was about what this could do for others, because I had been so profoundly impacted. And at that point, like, it introduced other people to the medicine and just like could see the benefits of being able to do that. And then I think, you know, I'm competitive too. And at the time I was just like, this is such an important thing. And it's like inevitable that it's going to happen at some point. And like, I want to be the one to do it. And I knew I would be frustrated with myself if I didn't try.
I love that you just mentioned that. I think I'm the same way. Like, if I get this idea in my head, even if it's like really, really ahead of its time, I know it's meant for me because I could never bear someone else doing it. And I'm not competitive with the world. I'm competitive with myself, right? So I love that you just mentioned that fire. Maybe that's just sort of an entrepreneurial mindset too, right? Like, to not like live another day without trying for this, right? Without striving for it.
Like, I just knew I would have been so disappointed in myself if I didn't at least try. And obviously that unlocked a whole new lifestyle and things like that. But, and I guess I also, you know, I'd say like a couple of things. Like, I had decided, like, I have so much time at work. Like, I want to be doing something every single day that I really, truly love and that like brings me energy. And so, you know, that regardless of what I decided to do was the next step. And I'd actually been really fortunate to have had a number of career experiences up until that point where I was already feeling that way. So it was like, you know, having seen friends that didn't necessarily have that same level of enjoyment every day when they went to work, and just the impact of kind of what that did, I knew that I wanted to find something. So yeah, I would say that. And then also, you know, kind of throughout my career, and this gets to why I was saying, I guess maybe it wasn't as huge of a leap, although, you know, it still was a big leap, was just, I would say I'm a true millennial in the sense of I also want a job where I have the ability to have a positive impact in the world too. And so this to me felt like this really amazing combination of being able to help others through the work that I'm doing and also just find something that I could be super excited and passionate about every day.
Did you get certified to be an acupuncturist to as part of running this company?
So if you see me with a needle, please run. but no, I mean, it's actually, it's interesting, like having started it, it's something that I would love to do sometime, but becoming an acupuncturist is like a very long, rigorous path. So, you know, we're talking about having a doctorate degree, master's degree at a minimum, years and years of schooling, tons of clinical training. So it's essentially medical school. For Eastern medicine. And so just hasn't worked out yet, but definitely something I would love to do at some point.
So let's talk about how you define success, right? So maybe early in your career, well, actually tell me, like when you first went out in the world as a consultant, how did you define success in one's career?
Totally. I mean, I think it kind of comes down to what I had mentioned earlier, like my personal goals are finding something that, you know, obviously like affords me the ability to like live a lifestyle that, you know, is comfortable. But more than that, it's, I think for me about truly meeting those two goals of having an impact in the world, and also feeling fulfilled on a daily basis.
When I started my career, I just assumed that success meant money. Like, you know, not that I made any money. My first job, I got paid $24,000 a year. And that was like, a big deal back then. To get that job. And as I've evolved as an entrepreneur, I realize like what I'm really longing for is like the wealth of time, right? Like, you know, and decision-making over my time, focusing my time where I want it to be. And that's like the greatest gift that I've given myself as a someone who owns her own business.
Yeah. No, that's amazing.
Okay, so we're going to close out the interview part of our show and we're going to move on to our next steps of this podcast. So this wraps up our interview. Thank you so much, Michelle, for your honest answers. We have time for a couple fan questions. I really like this one because as you're listing out all the benefits, I'm thinking, when would I do this? So the question is, how do I fit it into my life? Like, is this like going to the gym? I do it 3 days a week. Is it like going for a massage? I do it once a month. Like, explain how this becomes part of our everyday.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I can like answer and then like not answer, because the reality is that it really depends on your specific condition and your specific health goals. So when you come to Within, we kind of think about one of the tenets that we think about is just accessibility of like, how can we help people make time in their busy lives and routines for this? But, you know, I'd say generally you want to start off weekly for the first 3 or 4 weeks so that your body starts to adapt and you start to see some of the changes happening. And then I'd say kind of like you then assess depending on your condition and then go into more maintenance phase, which could look like continuing weekly or biweekly. Kind of the minimum for preventative care is once a month. When I first started, maybe I can also answer from my own personal experience. When I first started and had like very acute pain in my neck and shoulders, I was going 2 or 3 times a week to like work through all of that. But that lasted for a couple months, maybe even like less. And then it transitioned to once a week. And, you know, now it's just like, if I don't go for a week, I feel so different, like more tired, have trouble sleeping, just more elevated cortisol levels. So it's always like a good reminder if I do for some reason skip a week and I'll be like, why am I like feeling off? And I'm like, oh, it's gonna get acupuncture. But yeah, I'd say generally a maintenance phase is like every other week or minimum once a month.
Okay. So if I'm thinking about my life, it's not the same frequency as going to the gym or, you know, having physical fitness, but it's more like my getting a facial once a month or getting like a sports massage once a month. And that's enough to help me with whatever, like, let's say I'm just doing this for just like, well, just general wellness, right?
Yeah. I like I said, that's like the bare minimum is once a month. Like ideal state is once a week. And then I think what I often see is reality is every other week.
Right.
Just with like life, budget, schedule.
Okay. So ideal is like therapy once a week.
Therapy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to use that.
Because there's the things that we do every day. There's the things that we do every week. There's the things we do every month. And what I found in my own wellness journey is when I'm like adding something new in, even if it's as simple as like a new supplement, like I like my brain locks up and I like get very overwhelmed. And then like, how do I work my life around this? Or how do I add this to my life? Like, and I actually... like I leave like the doctor's office or wherever I am. And I'm like, I'm going to put time on my calendar to like reread my notes and the doctor's notes. Cause it's just like adding a new thing when I'm already very busy, even if it's very important for my health, is overwhelming. So I'm trying to always like unravel, like look at the larger puzzle and then find a place for it. And it takes a little bit of brain work for me.
Yeah, I think that's true for most people.
You know, we didn't talk about cupping at all, but cupping happens at within. My son is a high school wrestler and he loves when he gets, do we say when he gets cupped? Is that the right language?
Yeah, or you can say when he gets cupped, when he gets cupping therapy. I actually have our like at home cupping kit that I literally keep on my desk every day and use throughout the day. So it's like releasing muscle tension while I'm working. But yeah, cupping is like a key pillar of traditional Chinese medicine, has been for many years. Essentially, you can think of it like a reverse massage. So if you think of massage as positive pressure pressing down, cupping is actually pulling the muscles for the same benefits, just in the opposite direction because it's pulling up. And then it also has additional benefits that might not be as familiar. But for example, chest congestion, it can really break up mucus and help with circulation and decreasing inflammation there, and generally helps with like detox, so great after a hangover and things like that. So it helps increase circulation throughout the body.
So you're cupping yourself at home?
Yeah, yeah. This is what our at home. It's like literally the easiest thing ever. You just go like this and then you have like this.
Uh-huh. And then you leave that on for a certain amount of time?
Like 20 minutes. Yeah, the cups will start to lose their suction kind of thing, but kind of as long as it's feeling good. Yeah, it's really easy to do at home.
Okay, but now I'm really curious about the chest congestion solve. How do you, where do you cup for that? On your actual chest?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so actually our cupping kit has like a detailed placement for the different benefits. And so we'll show you like where you put the cups for your chest plate.
Okay. Okay. I've learned so much. I hope our listeners have too. I'm sure they have. I'm really inspired, Michelle. Like this is, you know, you're really pulling the whole industry up the mountain, right? So you're trying to build your business, but also build momentum in the category at the same time. So I know that's quite hard. It's a lofty goal, but certainly of high value. How wonderful that over time people are going to turn to your services before, you know, medicines and other, you know, things that are scary for their bodies and their long-term health. So keep going, please. And I'm really proud to know you and to be able to watch your growth.
That is really kind. I really appreciate it. And thank you for helping kind of share the word about some of the holistic practices that we really believe in it within.
Well, thank you to Michelle for joining us. You are our 252nd episode. So we're very happy to be on the other side of 250. That's exciting. And for our listeners, thank you for joining us. If you like this episode, please rate and review. As always, make sure you're following us on your favorite podcast platform and Instagram to stay up to date on upcoming episodes and all the fun we have along the way. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye, Michelle.
Thanks for listening to Where Brains Meet Beauty with Jodi Katz. Tune in again for more authentic conversations with beauty leaders.